Ready, Jim? All right, call a meeting to order.
Go ahead, Frank. This is your ball of wax.
I'd like to talk about the response to the storm, winter storm event that we had.
Okay.
According to several people, including Kathy, this appears to have been one of the most efficient and effective clearings that we've had in the past, and several of the supervisors attribute that to pre-application of chemicals and salt prior to the event. We've had many nice calls, very, very few upset calls. The upset calls are typically you put a big berm in front of my driveway and
come clean it off.
I would like to say in certain cases, we may go ahead and do that. Last year we did that several different places, and those special cases would be an emergency, could possibly be a disabled person, it could possibly be special needs type of thing. But in general, it's not our policy or MoDOT's policy to do any of that.
The I know I had a phone call from Danny via you, which was about getting some people who had emergency services. How many calls did we have about emergency responders needing to get access to houses? Was there?
To my knowledge, zero, other than
the one. Did we actually plow that road?
Yes.
Did he actually go to the doctor?
My understanding is no. But I don't know that I was told that by the people that responded to that. He was shoveling his driveway and experienced some feelings of discomfort and thought that he may have to make a trip to the hospital.
Okay, so he didn't call.
Okay, I just wondered, do we need to enforce a action of, do they need to call the first responders before we go clean in that case? I believe should be some kind of action.
I mean, we're only doing it because we want to make sure emergency services get to the residents.
Right.
But if there's not a call been placed...
There's other calls similar to that where elderly people will call in and say that their significant other or someone in the family has a very important doctor visit that they absolutely need to make it to. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time, especially if it's county maintained and on a snow route, I have a hard time not responding to that. We try not to pull people off of the route and respond because if you do that, it just extends this, mixes up the cycle. But there are cases where I feel it's important that we take care of those types of issues.
Right.
It's important for us to take care of the issues. I just, some way to ensure that.
Yeah, that they're not being, that we're not being.
But anyway, we can work through that next time, but maybe confirm that they're actually going to, they've actually called somebody, so.
Going to the hospital. I had one last year on Warren Road down there, and Bill Boy told me he was having a, going to have a heart attack, you know. He said he was out there going to have a heart attack, and come to find out that was just, I mean, it wasn't anything to it. And but I don't know, Charlie had already went down and cleared the road before I got, while I was talking to him. I guess he'd got information to go clear the road, but there need to be some kind of a, there'll be a few people take advantage of us if mm-hmm. we don't. But here's the bad thing. If we do not go clear a road and somebody has a problem, then we are in trouble.
Right.
Well, for instance, the highway patrolman in Savannah Place, that was not an emergency. He just needed to get
to work.
I don't have any problem with any emergency service type situations, those kind of deals. I don't have any problem with it. Do you?
No, I don't. I mean, they're being called to work. I mean, so anyway.
Another issue on Xenia Lane off of J. It's a three-quarters of a mile of a cul-de-sac. And there's an individual who lives at the end of the cul-de-sac who does not like the road to be plowed because we pile up snow in the cul-de-sac. He went as far this time to park a vehicle in the middle of the cul-de-sac and then put cones around it. He called our office once, possibly twice, and had unkind words for the office staff.
Who all lives in that road?
I don't know.
Well, this guy we've had trouble with before.
Now, tell you what, simply take it out of the maintenance program. It could save us a few dollars.
What I would do is, if it's in the way, I'd push it over out of the way.
I'd just take the whole road out of the maintenance program.
There's quite a few people that live there. And,
oh, there is?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not. And I'll tell you, we went up, and even last year we had some trouble with the same person. And there is a circle there, and the county owns out in what he calls his yard. It's already been dedicated to, before he even bought the property, it was a cul-de-sac there, and the county owns out in his yard 10, 12 feet.
I hate to say this, but let me see if I understood you right. This gentleman parked a vehicle in the middle of the cul-de-sac?
Yes, sir.
And it put cones around it.
And is the cul-de-sac part of our road system?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've got right of way to be there?
Yes.
I'd call a wrecker and have it loaded up and towed and impounded.
I would like to suggest that we call the sheriff, or maybe we send a letter to him just explaining you can't do this. Yeah. And if the sheriff has statutory right to pull that vehicle out of there, and if you leave it again, you're going to lose the cost of...
You're going to get towed.
You're going to get towed, and you're going to have to pay the cost of the towing to get your vehicle back.
I wasn't made aware of that fact until this morning, but I think that's the appropriate course of action. We have a similar situation, not snow-related, but on Powell, I believe it is. It goes by...
Awesome pictures.
Yeah.
People are just parking the road.
Blocking one complete lane. So Jimmy and I have been talking about that, and he says for the people to call in, and they will take care of that. One thing I would like to discuss, several years ago we talked about storing salt somewhere long-term in the underground, I think is what we talked about. When snow events come in a series of multiple events, it becomes difficult to reorder salt. A reorder may take 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes 4 or 5 weeks. So I'd like for us to consider purchasing our entire amount in the summer when prices are at its lowest and availability is good, and possibly renegotiate with the underground again. At one point in time, the price was nothing, but I wasn't familiar with the intricate details of the agreement, so I'd like to at least possibly open up discussions with them again for that purpose.
If you want to open the conversation with them, I think the cost of storage is going to outweigh the savings you're going to have. You're going to save money, the demand will be less in the summer.
Yes.
And we'll probably get a better price. But you got to outweigh that with the cost of storing it.
Right. That needs to be looked at. Last year when price of salt became a premium, we went from about $58 or $60 a ton to $115 a ton, more than doubled the price. So I think a storage agreement at that time, again, regarding depending on price, would... Mm-hmm. So I'd like at least like to...
I'm fine with that.
So we want Frank to call the underground and get a price, right?
Yep. They're going to ask you some specifics of how big of an area you need, but yeah. I'm fine with you doing that.
Okay.
And what about the barn on 76 Highway where the state now owns and we do share salt bins?
That stopped this past year when they moved out of there. We used to share salt at that location, which helped the T Highway and Mount Branson area tremendously. I'd also like to mention that we received multiple calls from state highway residents that stated that the state lettered roads were not being plowed. So one of our personnel checked into it, and it was, they were told not to hit any of the lettered routes in the from Mount Branson to Kirbyville until 76 was completely clean. So I had reports from our drivers that when we plowed the lettered routes in that area, we were actually the initial first plow that ever was done.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I think that's all right with me as far as us dropping a plow. I don't want to use any of our salt and stuff on the, but if we're headed to a location, mm-hmm. to a county road, I don't see any problem with dropping the blade to get there. As a matter of fact, it's probably a safety issue for us to get mm-hmm. drop it, and then, but I don't want to spread salt on their roads and then not take care of the citizens. We're all out there to try to take care of the citizens.
Next issue I have is Cedar Shores. We recently have taken in a road called Lake Point Road that had a platted cul-de-sac. We talked about it 6 or so weeks ago. A gentleman by the name of Dale Christensen would like the cul-de-sac deeded to him. That's where the cut-through road is that has 20-foot width driving surface that goes on to O. I don't really see a need for us to have that cul-de-sac. I believe if we built it, we probably wouldn't use it for a turnaround. So I told Mr. Christensen I would bring it up again. We didn't really make a decision, I believe, last time we discussed it. Or we can leave it as is and not build the cul-de-sac. It just belonged to the county on the records.
Let me review that for my own benefit. The courts have said that there's a 20-foot roadway, public
That's correct.
Access through just past this cul-de-sac.
Correct.
Between the cul-de-sac and O. So there's no reason for us to need a cul-de-sac.
Is that correct? That's correct.
So is there any reason we shouldn't? I mean, I don't.
We don't plow the road?
We do.
Do we just plow on the way? Do we plow on through, don't we?
I'm assuming we do. We do not?
We did this time.
Okay.
It took me six backups and push throughs to get through there.
So we didn't. I mean, if we need the cul-de-sac for a turnaround, obviously, but if we're not plowing straight through.
Did you see turnaround marks?
Do we even hit the road?
Yeah, the road was plowed.
Where did it stop?
Well, it's
right where that little narrow road goes.
It's what, just, maybe 500 feet or so of.
Yeah, put it up here. Come on.
So they just we basically didn't plow through the 20 foot. That's what I'm saying. We're using the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm. No, the cul-de-sac doesn't even exist.
No, we're using the area though to turn around. Aren't we?
No, we're going like up to the highway probably. Yeah. We could just leave our blade down just right. As easy as we could lift it up.
Right.
I say we leave our blade down and go up to the highway. And
is there any chance we'll ever lose that access will get overturned?
Not because of the court case that went through.
No appeal?
Okay. Fine.
But why would we want to sell the cul-de-sac in case it did that, until it does happen? Why, isn't that it there? Why would we want to sell that cul-de-sac until we have total access, 50 foot or what, 40 foot or?
Right. We have dedicated right-of-way right here up to about this point, and then this is the narrow part here.
We'd have to build a cul-de-sac or half a cul-de-sac in order to turn around there anyway.
Right.
That'd just be a waste of money, wouldn't it?
We're not doing that now, and when we maintained other portions of that neighborhood, we would drive what at that point in time was non-county and also used this portion of Lake Point to get out of the water.
Jim, what was not scraped?
From right here.
So they just back out, you think?
I don't know. I thought they did.
Probably went up the highway and turned around and came back the other way.
I'm not sure what they did.
Huh.
The original cul-de-sac
is right there.
Is right here, but
I think that's been changed now.
Changed to here?
Yes, because his home is about where...
His home sits right here.
Right.
Oh, so there, I didn't understand there was a cul-de-sac built.
Yeah, there's a turnaround built.
Well,
not much of one.
It's not, it doesn't have any chip and seal. I mean, it was just kind of graded.
It's gravel.
It wasn't.
It's got a gravel turnaround.
I'm not even sure it's gravel. He mows it.
It wasn't this time when this picture was taken, but it's, I think it's just overgrown with grass now.
Several things do nothing. Which means we own the property and we...
They'll rush straight on through?
Right.
That's what I think.
And he would feel comfortable in the fact knowing that we're not planning to develop that. He had a conversation with the developer that he placed his... According to him, Mr. Christensen, he placed his home at that particular location to have to further extend his view towards the hills... and was promised that the cul-de-sac would be deeded back to him if the county ever took that over. Well, that was stated to him by somebody who didn't have, I believe, the authority to say that. I see no need to build one, and in going straight through, he would feel comfortable in the fact that knowing that it, right next to his home, there wouldn't be a cul-de-sac or turnaround.
His, if I'm remembering right, when we took the road in, his first choice would be that the lake point didn't exist.
That would be everyone's choice, including the two homes at the end near O.
But that's not what the judge said.
Right.
So it's a clear shot there. I don't see any need of keeping it.
Well, are we going to have a 20-foot county road then?
There's 20 feet of driving surface, 18 to 20 on that short portion of Lake Point that's a public road at this point in time.
But I mean, do we have any easement or side? I mean, is there any shoulders or anything? Or
not the Lake Point part, is there?
There's no ditches. It's just flat.
I'm fine with deeding back to him. We're not going to build it. There's no reason to build it. Obviously, our road and bridge guys aren't using it anyway.
That's my feeling.
Danny?
Well, I'm kind of wondering if we ever need to buy it. I mean, if we ever need the other property, what are we going to use to buy it with?
Well, we've got a full easement until the end of this property, correct?
Yeah, but we don't have very many 20-foot roads we've taken in the last... 10-15 years.
But that last portion of Lake Point was not taken in.
It's just the county. You mean it's the court's decision? It's not actually a county road.
Exactly.
Yes. Correct.
And we've got 50 foot across this.
The court deeded a public access road.
Court deeded it as a public road, not a private road. We don't have it. The maintenance program is just there.
Yeah.
Correct.
So are you wanting to tell the boys to drop a plow and run it through there and make it a county road?
Yep. Might as well plow it the whole way if we're going to plow it. I mean, like Chuck said, it probably came off of O Highway down Lake Point and just drove it and then dropped the plow at the property line. Probably, right?
It sounds like it.
If there's not a pile of snow at the end of it, it sounds like they just dropped the plow late versus dropping it early.
I don't know that that's the case, because when I came out Saturday morning, there weren't any tracks through here at all.
But had Lake Point been plowed?
Yeah. But I couldn't figure out how I turned around, because there wasn't any tracks here.
It may have backed up.
It's a long ways if he did, isn't it?
Because there's another...
But there would have been a pile of snow at the end.
Oh, right there, he could have turned around.
There was originally another turnaround back.
Yeah, but there would have been a pile of snow at the end if he backed out.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to push it this way.
Maybe it snowed in after you, once you
I'm
saw
fine.
It.
I'm fine.
Because he came off Friday.
Let's just Saturday. Give him back. Give him back his cul-de-sac.
This was Saturday morning.
Let's separate the issues and
give him his cul-de-sac back. Is my vote.
Mine
not
too.
My vote. Go ahead and work on the paperwork.
Okay.
Now, Are you all right with that, Danny?
He's not all right. It's a majority.
Okay, majority one on that one. Not unanimous. Okay, the next issue is the from his property on to O. We want...
Scroll up, would you?
We want road and bridge, if a snow situation is on hand, to go ahead and drop the plow and plow it on out.
Yep.
But we're not taking responsibility unless some court forces us to.
We're not taking
to maintain it. We're not taking talking about maintaining it in any way because of the 20 foot.
But I would say go ahead and drop the plow anyway. It's like we do for MoDOT roads. Just put the plow down anyway.
Yep, I'm in agreement with that. Anytime we have to go through.
Unanimous.
You got one of those.
Unanimous. I'd like to go, now that that's done, I'd like to go backwards if I might. Danny mentioned Warren Road. Is that the one into KDOT where you go up the hill?
I don't know if it's up the hill or whether after you make the turn up the hill. Is it?
Like you book out in Parksley up there. I think Warren is the short piece that goes up the hill.
I think Warren is when you go in the low spot and you go up the hill. That's where we talked about blasting the blow off. And I think it's core property. And I'd like to make a determination that we plow that.
Parksley and Bookout are currently in the petition process. I think it was accepted contingent upon the right-of-way being acquired.
I think so. And Commissioner Pennell voted against it, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't care about, I shouldn't say it that way, I'm not concerned about plowing Booksley or Park, whatever.
Lookout, whatever it is.
Because they're fairly level goings. But the hill going up there is steep, and that's the one that Charlie has called about, I think, at times.
Several times.
And I think we need to nail it down that, yes, we're going to... Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I think it's, Army Corps starts about here or here.
There you go.
Then we go down the hill. I think this is Warren.
That's it.
And then...
Parksley.
Yeah, these are relatively level. And we're also taking this in as a Class 6, which wouldn't qualify
for snow removal. So what's the question?
My lean is that we ask Road and Bridge to plow that hill and turn around there where all those roads come together and go back out. And if down the road Parksley and Bookout become better traveled, then we can consider plowing them. But there's a number of people that live on Parksley and Bookout, maybe 7 or something, and they're stuck. And it's core land. The core doesn't care if we plow it. Am I out of line? Somebody speak.
Well, we got
yay or
we
nay.
Got an easement. We got an easement, or just going to be another one of them?
It's Corps of Engineers. It's just like Mission or anything else, we're just doing it.
And that would be the extent of what we do to that road. Snowplow for access and during the
right. No maintenance, or that's a whole other issue that we're not talking about.
I wonder what they're going to do with their $390,000 to fill that in. That sure would be handy to have that for a county road up there if it was going to be. Punish the monies, but it's all right with me. I don't care as long as I just didn't like the idea of it not being a county road and flying it.
Yeah. I have a call in and an email into Mr. John Heiser in regards to that
grant money.
Grant, and I have yet, it's been a week or 10 days that I have yet to receive a response to find out where we're at. And
you and Ron Houseman are working on that, weren't you two?
We are. It's limited as to what we can talk about if Mr. Heiser won't respond to my inquiries.
Right, but I mean, yes. The point was we asked you to do that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're unanimous on plowing Warren.
Sure.
Wow. there's something else I wanted to go backwards on. Could you run your list there real quick? How'd you start out?
Storage of salt.
Yeah.
Cedar Shores. That's about as far as we made it. And then how good the event had gone. And
oh, okay. FYI, I think the folks out in Savannah Place are bringing us a petition. I know I got the phone. Oh, that reminds me what my other question was. We got the phone call. Did we want to plow the highway patrolman out? And my desire was to plow everything. But the way I got it back was I didn't get that, but we did plow the patrolman out. Is that right?
That's my patrolman, yes. That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Well, that neighborhood, I think, has made an attempt before. It's kind of like the one we faced this morning. They're coming back to get the rest of those roads done. The next question that I had, that was a comment. You're laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing at you because that statement alone is the million-dollar question.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, it was just a comment. The other one was I got a call, similar we were talking about on emergency. What about the county doing this? And worked out good because he wasn't too far from me. I loaded my sweet little Kubota on the trailer and went over and plowed it out. My question is, I'd like us to come to resolution on, is that Frank's decision? I mean, we're going to get these calls again. Sure, you all probably got them, or if not, you're getting them. How do we handle cleaning out a driveway?
On an emergency case, is that what you're saying? Or?
When somebody calls, and Randy and I went out, where did we go? Down MM someplace, and it was what you mentioned, the guy had a doctor's appointment, he couldn't get out to go to his doctor's appointment when the snow was on, and the snow plow covered him up. And we went down and talked to him. I told him to call me if he needed help, and I'd see what I could do. Didn't make any promises. But we get those calls. Somebody's got to make a decision. How do we handle that? That's where I'm trying to go.
Well, right now you call us, right?
Most of the time.
Okay.
I'd say 80% of the time.
And
that works for me to continue to do that. They're all special circumstances, and the problem is that what I call the monkey see, monkey do theory. And when a neighbor sees something going on, and it can open a can of worms. And if I made all of those decisions and you gentlemen were not aware of them, word of mouth. Here's a word of mouth I'd like to talk about the snowstorm. We had a truck that wouldn't start on somewhere on O Highway this weekend. And a gentleman that owns a business at the corner of a town just to the east of us supposedly was telling his customers that a Taney County employee was sleeping in the truck all night. Totally a false accusation, but the truck was parked there all night. If and when these special cases that we're talking about come up and you're not aware of them, some people could make some insinuations and or conclusions that he must know somebody at the county or... So I think for our own protection, if we communicate these special instances, then we're all on board and we know what the special instance is.
What about this? When these calls come in, for instance, the call I had, I refer them to Frank, and Frank's the guy. He makes the decision. But when he does, he clarifies that this is a one-time position, and I'll bring your driveway and the issue to the county commission, and we look at it and make the final decision that it's a repeat time to try to prevent. I saw so-and-so get their plowed out. I want mine plowed out. Mm-hmm. And direct Frank to make some notes, or the girls to make some notes of why we decided to plow that out, and then review it as a commission to see if we want him to continue to do it.
The one off of T Highway, I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens again next.
That's exactly the reason I want to get something done. Yeah. Yeah, I want to make sure that I would just assume in those cases that they call emergency services of some kind, and the emergency services calls us, and we get somebody on the job, on the site to clean the road. Right.
The ones that are difficult are when I'm obviously talking to an elderly person on the phone, my wife needs to go to the doctor. If you have a blade in the area, could you just drop it at the beginning of my driveway and we're not doing their driveway per se, we're doing the berm that has blocked their driveway, which sometimes that's the only barrier that a person really has to get out from.
Yeah, that, and I understand that totally, because they can't get out and shovel.
Right.
Snow, or you get two people going to the hospital.
So how about it? Frank makes the decision and then notifies us after the storm and see if we agree to keep it up?
Well, I hate to get started doing too many private roads, but he has to keep that in mind.
Because right.
First thing you know, we've got no difference between a private road with snow removal and some county roads that aren't snow class 6 that don't get none.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess I don't agree with doing non-county roads. The instances I'm talking about are on county maintained roads, and we're clearing the berm from in front of
right.
Someone's driveway.
I don't have any problem with that.
That's the most common one, is clearing the berm in front of someone's driveway.
But it's for on special needs.
On a special needs.
It's not for everybody that's got a...
Right.
Because we'd never get around.
Right. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. If somebody calls in and says, you got me blocked in, and I've got to get to the hospital, clean it off. But I just, we got class 6 roads still in the county, and we got somebody down here with a private road that's cleaned off, and then we end up in trouble. And then the next time they call in, well, I thought I was having a heart attack last time, and I'm pretty sure I'm having one this time. If you cry wolf too many times, somebody won't come, and you'll be laying out there on the end of a shovel.
So Frank's going to make the calls and notify us after the event to see if it's all right, if he did the right thing, and we want to continue. Is that all right?
That's fine.
And if I did the wrong thing?
We'll send him a note saying, don't expect it next time. All right, that reminds me of something else, and that was, I don't think we, did we finish the cul-de-sac on Xenia? Are you going to send him a letter?
I will send him a letter.
I tell him, in that letter, tell him we have sent surveyor out there and surveyed that once, and if he has his vehicle parked on that property, we're having it towed. Because he went out there and pulled the stinking stakes out of the ground whenever he seen how far over on his property it was. And really, that part of it didn't make me mad, but whenever he said you can shove it over there on my neighbor, that's what made me mad. He didn't have any respect for his neighbor, shove it in his neighbor's driveway.
You know, my words, okay. Not that you did the wrong thing, we just didn't agree with you. On the other issue, where you make a decision, my words didn't sound too good. It's not that it was a wrong decision, it's just we don't agree with you.
Which one was that?
The one where you plow the berm out for somebody and come to us, and we said you shouldn't have done that.
Okay. Mr. Strophis, last week you gave me some information on fleet management program,
mm-hmm.
and I looked into that, and maybe you and I could talk one-on-one. I don't really know what your intentions or desires are for what the management program will do, but this one is more so for someone that runs a trucking fleet, which we sort of do. But this is more like a delivery fleet, and where they're really tracking their mileage and time and driver. Mm-hmm. It would meet some of our needs, but there are other programs out there that may be more...
Fine.
And then I pulled this one out of an old notebook, Rag Hollow. Danny had had your name by Rag Hollow, and talk about Rag Hollow at a core meeting where there's a one-lane bridge near Davidson. You go down take a right past Davidson. I don't know if we talked about improving a sight triangle there. The bridge, when you go up the bridge, it's hard to see because of the timber there.
I can't remember. It's one Randy and I went and looked at.
Okay.
This one's got that U-turn on it, I think, down there. Where, just got any more location? Anything else for it on there?
We just cleared. That's where the gentleman purchased a bunch of acreage across the street, and we cleared the large trees.
Yeah.
It's just past that. Then you come up the hill to Davidson, and then you take a right and go down. And
yeah.
I think it was a site. Short of improving the bridge to two lane, I think we can improve the sight.
The sight distance is all we're interested in improving there. Now, this has been three or four years since Randy and I was out there. It was when we were doing all the bridge stuff.
Maybe when we were out there working on that last project, I noted that and saw that was a situation that could probably
there's a terrible sight deal where this is at. You come around it, you cross the bridge and you come up and you almost make, well, you can see the road across when you cross the bridge. Mm-hmm. You see the road right over there, but you got to go up this way and down, back down to cut across it, and you can't see around the corner.
I think I was with you.
Yeah, I think you may have went with
it.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about then. We had a site issue there that we were concerned about.
Okay.
Randy was wanting to fill in that canyon there, but that's not feasible now.
I'd like to make contact with the, I believe it's Core Property, and see if I can at least get a site triangle there.
Yep.
I talked to Mr. Strahan a little bit about this. Intergovernmental agreements, and the two that come to mind this past week during the storm, one was Mark Twain School and one was Bradleyville, I believe. We've had agreements in the past that I was able to find in the clerk's office. They are good for 1 year, and in the exchange of services such as storing materials on their parking lots, we have provided snow plowing services to them during snow events. Those agreements expired at the end of 2005. So if we choose to do so, again, we would need to rewrite those agreements with those school districts.
We're going to take that up. What day is it? Tuesday?
Okay. Tomorrow at 9:30, we talk intergovernmental agreements.
Okay. Next issue, Georgia Toops.
Before you get started on her, are we still plowing those schools?
We did not.
We haven't been plowing them?
Both schools called.
Okay. Georgia Tubes.
Georgia Tubes. Do you know what that is, Mr. Strafis?
The Georgia Tubes?
Yeah.
Vaguely. Go ahead.
It's,
I've talked to Mr.
The drainage pipe that goes under and near her property. She has a flooding issue. Parts of her foundation to her modular or mobile home.
Go across the... Go ahead.
Several things have happened there. This was, to my understanding, a sewer project several years ago. And in that sewer project, the lot next to her was filled in, which she believes exaggerated her drainage issues. Mr. Hooker and his crew and or contractor went through and videotaped the storm drain pipe, and it's obviously clogged and not functional. This is about 23 feet in from the road. 28.1 feet in from the road, and I've not heard seeking direction on how you want to move forward with this. It's on private property. I can show you. I don't know if you've seen the picture.
What road is this again? It's
up in Quail? Table Rock Acres.
Is it Quail or Quebec? Or
it's in that area.
It's off. Yeah, Quebec's back in there. I'm not sure.
I've seen that because there's a garden hose in there.
There's some accusations that the initial installation of that was done improperly. She calls quite often when it's raining and the water system, the drainage system is not working.
What kind of critter is that?
This is as good as mine.
What do we have out there on our brand new suction hose?
That's a cave-in.
Huh?
She on Rainbow, Buttercup, or Fremont?
I'm talking about her street cleaner with that suction hose deal.
That only reaches about 12 feet. That's 28 feet. This would require digging at that location.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's like part of the pipe is collapsed in, like curled down.
Mm-hmm. 7 parcels she owns out there.
Mm-hmm. Probably have to dig it up and put a splice section in there.
Did Georgia crawl into that tube and take that picture?
The remote control camera.
I ran into her up at Mount Branson, and she was doing a trailer house up there. It had a driveway you couldn't get in, and talked to her about it and asked her why in the world she bought that place with it.
So our CCTV thing did the pictures, right?
Yes. Right.
What's unique is this top piece looks like a piece of CMP that's been damaged and crushed down, which probably started the whole chain of events of clogging.
I guess the question is sewer related? Is it sewer's fault? Whose fault is it?
That's the question of the day. I wasn't here. I know the sewer went through there. I don't know if the Road and Bridge Department went in there in conjunction with sewer, as we do sometimes after a project or during a project, to help with certain situations.
We did all kinds of stuff out there. Matter of fact, they had Road and Bridge had Gerald Britton had a crew out there that rolled round bales of hay all over that thing to cover the ground so we wouldn't have storm runoff. And so there was all kinds of work done in that area. I'd say if there's anything that's done out there, according to that it is at least half shared by sewer.
Do we want them to check into, what do you want to do? If we cause the problem, we need to fix the problem.
As I remember, there's some issue with the neighbor that cleared his lot. Or something.
He brought in some loads of that
fill
that diverted some of the water
and caused a problem, and his lot's not usable or something.
Won't you have Hooker and them go out there and look it over?
That's the one. That's who gave.
They
the
did that.
They did.
That's what this is.
Yes.
And they're not wanting to get involved in it.
They didn't say that. I'm asking for direction. Do you want me to work with sewer and see what we can work out? Do a 50-50. It appears that some type of.
I think it's the only fair thing to do. We run into a situation before.
We improved roads. I think we improved the roads besides what Road and Bridge did to clean up the mess because of the terrible sewer project.
Yeah.
So I think a 50-50 is reasonable.
All right. Work with sewer 50-50 split.
This doesn't look like a natural collapse of the pipe or deterioration. It looks like something happened.
I don't think it'll be a major event to fix it either.
I don't either. Next issue is Shorty Cooper improvements next door to our new judicial facility. We had that hill groomed almost ready for some type of
treatment.
Ground cover.
Not so much now.
It's not that way. Weather permitting, we'd like to get started on that, at least the building of the road. My question is, the financing of that road, was that to be part of, where was that to come from? I don't recall ever having that discussion.
It was in the capital improvements line.
Yeah, we had money in the capital improvements line to do that.
That wouldn't be your budget.
It would not be your budget, right.
Okay. How can we get the contractor also, I think there's 4 pipes that come out of the hillside there that I believe 3 out of 4 have been damaged due to construction activities.
I think they...
We need to work with Mel, because it's the Y Highway Sewer Project, and let him know that they need to fix those. Because don't you believe that they need to fix what they've
done? They sure do, because they...
And actually re-groom the hill like we had it groomed?
Yeah.
That's twice we've re-groomed it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the re-grooming. Well...
We had it groomed.
We had
some point, I guess you're right.
We had it ready for topsoil and...
We actually started pricing
right.
different options, which I have some prices from subs and some contractors, but we had it groomed, and I saw where he damaged a lot of the, or someone damaged the concrete.
They broke the stormwater. Those flat stormwater deals, they've run over them with tracks and broke them. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
When you say groomed, I'm in agreement, but you're not talking, they didn't have any, we didn't have dirt on it.
It was all groomed and ready for topsoil.
Right. Gotcha. I agree.
Okay.
So I would give with, wouldn't you want to give them with Mel, because Mel's managing the Wyatt Highway project?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See how kicking and screaming?
You know, that brings up a question. We were kind of rushed there. When Mel spoke to us this morning, I didn't know they had run the line along the highway.
Yeah, I knew that it was in and covered.
They did it real quick. It was already broke.
They were in there and they had to cover it up. So
they had to.
They opened it back up, dropped the pipe.
I didn't see it. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was raining. It was filling up faster than they could get the pipe in almost.
Right. And we've talked about this next issue a bit. We're on the hillside still. On the furthest down pipe, the largest capacity pipe, somebody's stacked a bunch of boulders in front of it now. During a heavy storm event, that pipe gushes water out, which impacts the highway.
Yeah, it even hits the highway.
I'm wondering if I shouldn't contact the design engineer that did that.
Put a grate or something over it to keep it
A deflector? I mean, there's some. Do you know who that design firm
was?
Don't
you think we need a pour concrete all the way down to the road or something to slow it down? I mean, it's going to wash out no matter what we do.
Some type of structure needs to be there, including probably a diversion structure that slows it down. Because if we just smoothen it, it'll just accelerate.
I'm just wondering if the design engineers are going to do anything about it at all.
That should have went into a concrete culvert and just dumped it right in and let it went right on down.
I don't know who they were, I guess. It's one of my questions.
Have to call HMN Architects and find out.
Yeah.
I can almost remember the name, but can't quite.
You mean who done the construction there?
Who did the engineering on that stuff?
I don't know who did the engineering.
Kennedy did the work.
Next issue I have is the manhole project, which I think is a worthwhile effort. I have been in discussions with Great River Engineering and with the sewer department in ways to prevent these issues from being a problem in the future and future construction and or sewer projects. It's my understanding that we have a little over 80 manholes to do, and sewer is willing to pay for everything in the Bee Creek sewer project, which I believe puts about 30 or 40 on our dime or my dime at $350 per. That'll be a significant cost. So wondering if we could attribute those costs to the sewer budget.
So, where'd you get your information as far as percentage of who's fixing what? From Sioux Tea, maybe?
I don't remember. I can't recall exactly where I got the information, who I spoke with.
I'm just trying to remember, and sitting in the sewer board meetings, I remember discussion about this is what we need to do and going through the bid process and all that jazz. But I don't remember
It may be Sam that I spoke with. Sam and Randy attended the pre-construction meeting for the sewer manholes.
But I don't remember any conversation about who's going to... If you'd asked me, I would have guessed that it was the sewer was going to do the whole thing.
That's the way I feel about it.
That's how I feel about it. I don't know why it's a sewer manholes. It's not like the road and bridge manholes.
And the road has been improved because of that, and if they can't take care of the sewer deal, I can't understand where it lays within road and bridge.
I may have been misinformed, but I will talk to Mr. Suti and Mr. Hooker to get clarification on this.
I fully expect them to pay for the whole thing.
I had some, the next one is what I'll call Acacia Club drainage issue. I had some wonderful pictures, but was unable to find them this morning. There's a, going down Acacia Club, going down the steep hill prior to the bridge or box culvert that washed out, there's a home down there that gets a significant amount of flooding. When I say significant, this whole backyard is underwater, under about a foot of water. If you can see or understand the topos, that is the low spot. And I've seen a foot of water in this gentleman's backyard. And so what's happening is from the top of Acacia Club, water's going down. I think there's a lift station or something halfway up it. Right about at that location, all of the drainage from there goes into this gentleman's backyard. He's lived there for about 8 years. I've met with him twice on different issues down there. I don't know if... I'm trying to figure out what's different than what caused or created this. There was a development of condos to go in down below where they regraded the property. Now we'll check with Eddie to see if there's a bond being held out on that and see what how much land disturbance they did there, because they installed a storm drain sewer system in that undeveloped piece. Whether it's connected to anything or not, I don't know. But Randy's done an estimate for me on the putting 700 feet of buried 18-inch storm pipe, and it's about a $15,000 estimate. I would like to do some more homework and hopefully bring you some under... hopefully find a resolution to this that doesn't cost the county any money.
I like that resolution.
I was made aware of this at the last large rainstorm that we had probably 3 or so months ago, and hadn't heard anything of this nature prior to that. It was one of the 5 or 7 inch rains that we'd had in about a 24-hour period. But something makes me believe that the proposed condo development area may have had some impact, because it could leave his front yard and go through where that land disturbance has taken place.
So you feel like there's a pressure timeline to repair this?
Yeah,
what do you think?
There is. If we get it appears that a normal rain doesn't inundate his yard as the pictures that I have that he called you, I believe, one morning and mm-hmm. was quite upset. And in doing the research, he should have been quite upset. Mm-hmm. So I want to prevent that from happening, and hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate with us.
Excuse me, but this project, this was when we went in there and put the curbs mm-hmm. on Acacia Club. It started then?
The curbs, to me, are from the bridge on down, right? Or just above the bridge, and then by Mr. G's and down by Trout Hollow or Trout?
Okay, I guess.
That's the curbed section that I understand was built. This is not curbed up at the hill where I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, what's caused it is the manhole area up there that's been put in, plus the development that old boy did right in above there, didn't it?
Could be added to it.
And somewhere, I don't know where we get off base at, but somewhere somebody has to have some physical responsibility besides the county for disrupting somebody else's property. If you live off out here, and
but that's the bigger picture. That's the planning and zoning that we're messing up with. We're not making people retain water or have detention ponds on their property when they do something with the covering. That's why we need to deal with that, because look at Clever Draco. I mean, there's numerous places that county's picking up the pieces because we didn't put requirements that the developer keep that water runoff on his property.
We have that language in the code, and I believe we have had that language in the code. Something that we have implemented but haven't had the opportunity to use yet is that an outside party, third party engineering firm would review.
We're not holding anybody accountable to that.
Right, but we haven't had the opportunity to, because of the economy, nothing large has been built. But what our intentions are if and when things pick up, is that when we get a project that comes through that will have a land disturbance, I think it's above and beyond 1 acre, they will have to provide a stormwater plan to us, and that plan will be reviewed by an engineering firm that's not involved with the project, and that cost will go back to the developer until it's accepted and approved and signed off by the engineer for him to move forward. But then do we have the people in inspection to follow through with?
So we've had the policy in place, though, before this economy downturn. We just chose not to follow it.
Right, correct.
So, I mean, unless we follow the policy, why even have it in the policy book?
Well, it happened a long time before you got here, Jim.
We've had it before the economy. We just chose not to. You're saying it's in the code book.
Yes.
And we haven't done any modifications to the code book recently.
Correct. We're working on it, but we haven't.
Right. Okay. So we just have, it's in there. We
need to enforce
the policy that we've written.
That's already in there. But like I'm saying, even in the design process, we can get an engineer to sign off and say, you have a great plan. But as they go out to construct 100 condos and put 5 acres of impervious cover down, you increase the Q factor of the flow by X.
Right.
And if we don't have an inspector out there that's watching how it's being built, then.
Oh, I agree.
So, as in our sewer board, when they do a project, when somebody does a project with them, they have another engineer, Great River, they've contracted with, to review the policy or review the plans and see if it's going to work. And so we would have to do that on stormwater drainage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there would have to be funding budget to...
Well, our intentions are that the developer would have to pay for that review.
Okay.
I'll try and be quick. It's 2 o'clock.
My sense is that Eddie Coxey's got that in his head to try to make that happen.
So absolutely.
Hopefully the corrections
will happen. But things like this and others throughout the county are...
From other days.
We're going to still fix the problem.
Possible cause because of things weren't done in the past. This one is, I've not spoke with the auditor's office about this. Sometime in December, I believe, we have a cutoff date for bills that come in. Well, sometime between that cutoff date and the first few weeks in January, we get billed for work or activities that were done by others for us, and they're billed. For instance, our survey line item is a $10,000 line item that we have $10,000 to use for the year. We're at about $7,000 of those costs, and about $6,000 of those dollars were from jobs that were actually surveyed and done and completed even prior to the cutoff date. So I sort of feel I'm being penalized in one way or another because my budget is over 50% depleted in one line item that the work was done prior to the cutoff date and just the billing cycle for the company and or possibly our internal billing.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, we're being billed for things this year that were completed last year and should have been paid for last year, whether or not they met the deadline or not. There's a gray area there where it's not working for me.
Fully aware of it. Fully aware of it.
Can't you just get your surveyors this year to do the work and bill you next year? Just joking. Fully aware of it. Run into it with the park board stuff all the time. Before, used to be the 15th. They never did know what the exact date was because it changed. And we need to talk with Rick and get a permanent date and find out because it really messes you up.
Well, even with a firm date, regardless of what that date is, when the work is completed prior to that date, but we're not billed until 2 weeks after that date or the first week in January, second week in January, then I'm still in the same boat.
So can we say to Frank, we understand and we expect you to keep the work done this year to the budget? We won't whine.
You're saying, I'm not sure I know what you're saying.
Okay, let me try again. If he does $10,000 worth of survey work in 2010, he's going to be over budget about $6,000. So as long as he doesn't go over budget more than $6,000 for 2010, we won't whine at him.
Chuck won't whine at you. You hear that?
I'm
not a very good salesman.
We do something here that I will term as bottom line accounting. Mr. Finley and I have had numerous conversations on this. A lot of places that I've worked, we've had line item per line item accounting to where you can't go over in that line item without doing a budget transfer.
That's how I'd like to do it, but we're not there yet. So we're doing bottom line. You're right, the totals. Okay.
The other thing I'd like to talk, 245 and 250.
He's working on it.
If we could get that into one line
there's,
item.
There's a lot of, Rick and I, we all met with him last week to talk about that. You can't delete a department unless there's 3 years of inactivity. He's working on how we can make it cleaner for everybody.
If we could do that, that would help a lot.
Yes, because it looks like we had $3 million extra money in one of the departments, and it was spent out of the other department because we did a transfer, and that really confuses some citizens who don't look at both departments, right. And then they're thinking, oh, you got a pot full of money. So, anyway, sorry about that.
That's all I had on my agenda.
Ding, ding.
Time's up.
Boy, you ran that one close.
Pleasure seeing you. I think we're on for next Monday again.
Okay. Mr. Morgan and I were are planning to meet to talk about some security measures that we are looking at alternatives throughout some of our facilities to work on. I have yet to receive results from the lab.
It's been 5 days. You may want to call them.
I called them Friday. Not ready. So.
Wow.
I will call them every day till they're tired of hearing from us.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Postage man.
Hello. Got some information back.
Woo!
Need a copy of it?
We compiled, or Tim compiled for me, some of the usage reports on number of pieces that went through the postage machine in 2009. That's what that top page is. Shows you that the courthouse departments ran 102,000 pieces. If I get my glasses, I'll be able to read it.
103,685.
Okay. And the judicial center was 15,000 pieces. The one thing that skews this a little bit is the circuit clerk apparently did not use the machine much the first three quarters of the year. And I guess they bought stamps or an alternative way to send their mail out. So I don't have their true numbers, but that sort of gives you a breakdown of the usage that happened last year.
Can you help me here? What departments are judicial facility here? Part of your judicial totals?
Oh, that would be all those. It would be... just going down the list, it'd be child support, circuit clerk, economic, juvenile, public admin.
Prosecuting attorney,
right, they were the big user. And I don't know whether the camp building, sheriff's department, but the building and grounds would go over here or over there. But
should be over here.
Yeah. So that's the breakdown.
Let me ask you another question there, sir.
Yes, sir.
It appears that the collector has four major mailings a year. Is that correct?
Actually, you're not seeing their major mailing on here. Their major mailing is in...
Okay, the assessor. Why don't we encourage the assessor to do a January mail-out and an April mail-out with the service?
And not do it in-house?
Uh-huh.
Well, we save quite a bit of money by doing that mail out.
What is the quite a bit? Do you know how much?
I think around $3,000.
We saved $3,000
on that last mail out that we did.
Okay.
Which was their assessment forms.
So it costs a lot more, you're saying, to do a service than it
yes.
is in house.
Yes.
So, uh-huh. So here's where we're at, Jim. That's $3,000, and then when everybody sends out the next tax bills, that's another $3,000. Right.
He'll send out an increase notices here next month, probably, and
so
that'll
we're talking about $6,000, that which enforces our argument of moving this machine down there and buying a new machine.
Actually,
here.
what this document shows is that the circuit, the judicial doesn't have the usage.
No, the heaviest user.
It comes down to, I mean, I don't know where, I mean, 15,000 pieces, I understand, is a lot of mail, but that's less than 15% of our overall usage.
I don't know what the circuit clerk's usage would be. Unfortunately.
Well, see, now, he just got through saying, though, that she didn't use it for the first 9 months,
right.
Didn't you?
But what is that total?
I don't know how far in the fourth quarter, that the 739 pieces for the fourth quarter, whether that's just a month or 3 months or what. So,
I still don't see the need in having another machine yet, I guess.
So you just want to leave another machine out? I mean, I'm fine with any of it if it.
I mean, 15,000 pieces is a small usage compared to our overall usage.
Majority of those came from the prosecutor's office.
And the majority of the 15% came from the prosecutor,
right.
Not the circuit clerk.
Right.
So they've the prosecutor and the public admin and the sheriff.
But now,
hauling that stuff over here, right?
Yes.
Juvenile.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something, though. We're going to have this argument from now on if they don't have a machine down there.
But, okay, the unit that you're looking at here that you've given us a price for, mm-hmm. What's the specs on it?
On the two units there?
Yes, sir.
I have two units. One is the 525.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty much their entry-level machine.
How is it rated? By usage? I mean, what separates?
Capability, weight limit. It's got a 10-pound weight limit as opposed to a 30-pound platform on the other. It only handles a minimum number of accounting programs, which is adequate for our use there.
50 accounts, which is probably plenty.
It does have the weigh-on-weigh module. It's a per-piece machine. It's just not set up to handle the large volume that the DM-1100 does.
What would you? The average unit piece is what, 44 cents?
Yes. That's for first class, so no discount, right.
So they're basically spending about $6,500 a year.
You lost me there, Kemosabe.
Yeah, 15,000 times
15,000 parcels times 44 cents each is about $6,500 in total expense.
Now, the average may be higher there because they're using more certified mail. Both the sheriff, the prosecutor, and the circuit clerk use more certified mail. So we're looking per piece here, not per dollar.
Correct. Okay.
So that could be a fair increase.
Yeah.
But where would, I mean, I have multiple questions.
I've got a lot of questions, but I think I want to start you down the right track before you start asking them. Here's my question. We're going to have the complaint about them not having the postal machine.
Uh-huh.
Our argument was make their department percentage-wise pay for this machine, move to that location, and buy a new machine for here because of the usage. We have heavy usage here. We've already had some problems because of heavy usage. Is this the way I assume from the conversation that we had? We've not had major breakdown, but we've had some problems.
Right.
Okay. Each department, the sheriff's department, prosecutor, all those people have funds, and they could take this machine at a reduced cost of a new one, and we could take that money and put it in on a new machine up here where the heavy usage is and take the old machine down there.
But the new machine is the same rating as this old machine.
Yes, the 1100.
The 1100
has a few more bells and whistles, but the rating or the duty cycle is the same as the DM-1000. The DM-1000 is not made anymore, so the 1100 took its place.
But it's new.
Brand new, right? Right. It's almost.
I'm going to play. I'll do a little scenario here. Prosecuting attorney's budget comes out of GCR.
He's talking about slush funds here, though.
So I'm talking about all the slush funds.
He has
okay.
Bad check funds.
Okay, if you're talking about funds. Other funds than just GCR money.
I'm talking about all, and totally none. No okay. GCR money's out of this deal here. It all comes out of their slush funds.
Before I would say that, I want to know where they're going to put this that all three departments can get to it. We didn't build a public mail room over there.
No.
I mean, I don't know where you'd put it.
Well, I hope you, I mean, you see where I'm coming from with the whole thing.
I'm fine if they want to pay it out of their special use funds, but if it has to come from GCR budget,
we're never gonna quit hearing about it.
That's,
until it's moved down there, we're never gonna quit hearing about it.
Who have you heard about it from?
Just one department.
Just one person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a county employee or a state employee?
That's a state employee.
There are other machines out there as well that are less functional.
But the funding is where I'm going, Rick. What, an opportunity, if you've got somebody that wants to pay funding is going to go right into the machine, just like other sheriff's department, prosecutor, and everybody. They have that special funding that we can't get our hands on other than letting them use it for something
this. I would like you to get to the circuit clerk and see what her usage is actually going to be.
Okay.
Because obviously, if this usage is not accurate, I need to know what the accurate usage is. Once you have that, then find out what the percentages are broke down by those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different departments that are actually use it.
Okay.
But
I got a feeling I can get a dollar amount because I'm sure budgetarily they have to keep track, but on a per piece, definitely not going to divide out by 44 cents.
By per piece, but not by per dollar figure.
Yeah, that may be tougher to get than the per dollar figure from her because she knows how much she spent each quarter, but she may not know how many exact pieces were mailed out. But we'll try to get to some sort
of. That's really the next thing. I don't see the usage, I can be honest. I mean, there's a convenience factor, but you're talking 15%. Let's say they have a bunch of usage. Let's go to 20% of their overall usage.
I don't like to talk about some of this, but, I mean, we talk about 2 wrecks last year, 1 wreck last year, and things like that. I just like to take advantage of slush funds where they can be used. And so far, since I've been here, it's been like pulling teeth to get dollars out of those funds. And this is a good opportunity for them to participate in the county project.
I understand. I agree.
There's really just three, if I'm looking at this right, there are just three offices. And that would be the circuit clerk, the prosecutor, and the sheriff. Mm-hmm.
That's so correct.
None of the rest don't have any money.
Public administrator doesn't have any money from state?
No, I think we end up. I don't think she does she? She doesn't
public
have any,
minister?
Or does she?
There's not a fund.
No.
No. And child support, we've farmed that out, so there's probably nothing there.
I'm willing to listen. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from the last 4 years. We just can't get into the slush fund dollars that needs to operate this facility.
Well, I am amazed that we see so many of those. You know, we had some that used those extremely well. Mm-hmm. But I see so many of those that don't seem like they were touched.
No.
And most of them continue to
build.
Grow.
Yeah, build. I see an opportunity for us to get some use out of it for all the citizens here.
Okay, is Gary off the hook then for now?
I just want to give you an update where we were.
What's the direction we're giving Gary?
Same one you give him.
Check with Brenda,
get
a breakdown. And
get the total and then...
Okay.
Danny, are you thinking that this would...
Who's going to call?
Keep somebody from having an accident going to the post office?
No.
Okay, good, because I think they'll still drive the post office.
They still pick up their mail.
I'm just talking about things that happen that lead to the conversation. Rick, you understand what I'm saying?
So who's...
Well, I see your
the
point.
Accident, the accident happened because we had to go to the post office and you don't have a postage machine down. That's where it's all come from. And it didn't make any difference. I mean, that's just going to be out there. But I'm wanting to take advantage of those funds.
And I agree with you. If they want to use those funds appropriately, and I think this would be an appropriate expenditure, then I think this would be a good time for them to do that.
Who's going to ask those three offices?
Well, let's get a dollar figure first.
Gary first. Okay.
Don brought a dollar figure in here that they spent last year was close to $11,434.
But that doesn't seem to be both, but... whenever they send the bill in, they just say so much for postage to be reimbursed. They don't give.
So how much was circuit clerk then? What was the total figure again?
Dollars was $11,432.
Okay.
Now, there's a credit on there. Does that have to, is it net?
So that may be just the way the machine
goes. Okay. We have a breakdown of what departments?
Yeah, it's all.
That's all circuit clerk.
But if we have no idea how many pieces of mail that was. If you send something certified out of $5, that's the equivalent of mailing, you know, close to over 10 pieces.
Go back to the circuit and see what she, parcel, the unit she's talking about for usage.
We'll try and get a breakdown on that. All right, we'll do.
And then you just give us that total, then we can talk about that administrative.
Okay.
Very good.
We'll do. Thank you, Don.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Okay. Are you guys, before we even go there, are you guys in agreement that a machine that we've got now with less usage would be moved over there, and a new machine that is brand new that would not probably have the breakdown would sit here?
Right.
That's the way I feel about it.
Have you given us your opinion as the condition of our machine now? Is it 5 years from being dead, or
I think it's adequate for what we're doing. I mean, we spent, like I said, a total of $1,200 maintenance last year, which certainly doesn't warrant a maintenance contract, and didn't seem $100 a month maintenance didn't seem excessive on repairs. So, no. I think at some point, I'd say we're looking at a couple 3 years down the road. There may be some postal changes that require us to upgrade, you know, but
we never know on that.
Yeah, but I'd say we're good for a couple of years yet.
Okay.
We don't foresee any major breakdowns. We try to keep it in pretty good repair.
I have to buy him another piece of pie or something, you know, to get him convinced. I don't know.
Thank you.
That's all we have.
That it?
That's it.
Rick, you got something for us?
No, he's just in here just passing by.
Somebody told me that Frank was concerned because we're paying 09 expenses. And
no, he's not concerned. He just doesn't think it's fair to his budget. His 010 budget gets affected by his 09
purchases. He doesn't want to jump on us to jump on him about his budget because monies were paid before the 15th.
It's under administrative. There's not any way to avoid that. It has to happen. I mean, you know, unless he gets the bill through, if we can't pay him.
That's exactly right. Chuck promised not to get on to him, though. Oh, he has a new one.
We ain't got on to him.
How about a recess?
Let's recess. What do you say?
All righty.